You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 215, Book Ideas for Korea. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Hello, welcome back. I thought it would be fun to do another book review of different things we did throughout the school year that I really enjoyed. You really can never go wrong with books, so I love them. So if you listen to an episode I did last year, I kind of went over of what we were doing for our school year last year. And last year was honestly one of my favorite years of homeschooling. And I think it was just because my personal growth was so amazing of what I was studying and what I was growing and how I was growing. And so it was just so much fun. So we started with World War I, and that was partly because I really wanted to study more about World War I. And then we dove into Russian history, and we studied about the last Tsar and Rasputin, which my six-year-old talks about all the time, and then Lenin and the rise of communism and how that all happened in Stalin. And then we went into World War II, and we took 2 months to really dive into World War II. And then we went into China and studied about that and the communist revolution. But one of the other things we did that I was like, I would love to know more about is the Korean War, that we wanted to study Korea and different things like that. And so I kind of wanted to talk about what we did with Korea this last year. So when I dove into a specific country, so we did mention the war and whatnot, but like the whole month was actually more about Korea. So I literally went to Pinterest and looked for unit studies for Korea. And I found one, I don't even remember what it was. And I think I paid a couple bucks for it. And it literally had like the Korean flag and languages spoken and different types of things like that, that I kind of just used throughout the month that we would go through as we talked about mostly South Korea, right? And different cars and different big companies that come through South Korea and different things like that. And then what we did for, we actually did this quite a bit this year for our read aloud, is we did a lot of fairy tales from those countries. So I was going to show you two of the books we did. One of them was, and if you're on YouTube, you can watch this, but if not, I will just add a link with the books. But this is called The Korean Cinderella, and please forgive me if I mispronounce names, by Shirley Climo, illustrated by Ruth Heller. So this is, you can see the beautiful book. I, like always, I'm obsessed with beautiful pictures and images and all those types of things. So this is one of the books that we did for our read aloud, was The Korean Cinderella. And that was perfect for George's age group as well. So your younger kids, especially with those picture books. But never, don't just push off picture books for little kid things, because big kids will sit through them as well. And then the other book we did for read aloud, because this one had a lot more stories, was Korean Children's Favorite Stories, Fables, Myths, and Fairy Tales. Once again, please forgive my pronunciation. Written by Kim So-un, illustrated by Young Kyung Sim. So once again, awesome artwork, beautiful images, fun stories of different fables. And some of the fun things we did, I would just go on Pinterest and look up Korean activities or Korean crafts. And so we painted fans, and that was a ton of fun. My George is obsessed with geography. So we have a puzzle of Asia, and we would put that together a lot of times while I was reading. Just the different stories. Those of you on YouTube, you can kind of see all the different stories. But like, it was just really fun. And so we would paint some of the pictures from here and do some of the fun things like that. So as far as their reading on their own, I wanted to share with you. So we did a lot of that stuff together. We were learning about Korea, right? Different things like that. We would actually listen to, I would search up just on Spotify of traditional Korean music. So a lot of times while we were painting or creating something, it was way fun that I would just play that music in the background so that they would get a taste. And this was traditional Korean music, but we actually did, is it K-pop who did Gangnam Style? We actually did some of that, like the, some of the Korean pop stars and different stuff like that, where we would look into kind of what they're all about and whatnot. So we had traditional stuff and then we had pop culture and different fun things like that. So we did also touch on the Korean War. I didn't do as much as like a super in-depth of the Korean War, but we did study the gist of it. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. So we didn't have, I don't know if there's a book for simple history of the Korean War that kind of gives a gist, but on YouTube, they do have little videos of it. So we did watch some of the YouTube videos to help us better understand that. There's also a Tuttle Twins episode that, and I cannot remember the lady's name off the top of my head, I'm sorry, where they talked about free speech, and they actually have somebody from North Korea and who has escaped and whatnot. And so she talks about the importance of free speech. And that's a really good episode that we watched as well as we were studying kind of the politics of North and South Korea. So for my youngest, so for elementary age, we just stuck with the fairy tale books and the fables and the myths and all those really, really fun things. For my 12-year-old or for somebody around that age, a fantastic book, and this is what they read on their own, was Just a Brother's Keeper by Julie Lee. And I read this book a couple years ago when I knew I wanted to talk about, when I just wanted to learn about Korea and the war and different things like that. But it is two children escaping from North Korea, trying to escape into South Korea. And the Korean War is happening and all these types of things, and they're trying to escape. And it is their story. So this is totally age appropriate for kind of that 12-year-old range, right? Your preteen, I know there's a name for that, your tweenager age, right? So totally appropriate for them, a child who can read by themselves, nothing graphic or extreme or anything like that. So fantastic book for that age group. So probably between like fifth to ninth grade, depending on your kid. That was a really great book. My Brigham absolutely loved it. Okay, this next book was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So it was funny, Tess and I were reading all of our books, and sometimes we would take turns and swap. And so she got this book before me, and she read it so darn fast. And she was like, oh my goodness, this was amazing. And so we absolutely loved, loved, loved this book. So I will give the caveat, though, that this is for a mature teen. This will probably be way too much as a read aloud. The other one you could actually do as a read aloud would be really fun, but this one would not be great for little kids. So you can go read on Amazon reviews and see if it's right for your family and whatnot, but a really great understanding. So this is In Order to Live, A North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom by Yeonmi Park. And absolutely life-changing book. I can't even remember where I heard about one of, she had two books, and I'll talk about the second one in just a minute. And somebody had like a podcast or something had mentioned her, and I went down a rabbit hole and started looking her up. I actually tried to message her to see if she'd come on my podcast. But she's pretty big, so I didn't get a reply back. But her story is, it's intense. And what's crazy is that she's not that old. And right, so like the Korean War was in the 1950s, right? And so a lot of times we put it back and we're like, oh, okay, well, that was bad then in North Korea, that was bad then or whatnot. But like, she didn't escape that long ago. And so this gives a very eye-opening, what's the word I'm looking for? An eye-opening, I don't know, I lost my word. An eye-opening just details of what she went through. So, I was thinking about reading the back of it. I should have looked up like what year she came out of there, but she either was born in the 90s or 1990s or born in the early 2000s. I can't remember off the top of my head, but she, what she experienced and trying to get out of North Korea, and then they escaped to China, and like her whole story and everything is just, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And so just eye-opening. I think that's the word I was looking for. Eye-opening of what she went through. So with that being said, this one has some, it's not language. It just has a lot of adult things that she went through. was very obviously not graphic or describing anything, but she and her mother experienced some pretty intense hardships. So that one you probably need to look up and see if it is appropriate for your teen to read. My 15-year-old read it and she was fine. I read it and I was fine. But sometimes when we're reading it at the same time, then she can just talk about it. But it wasn't anything that really upset her in the sense of like just the way that she wrote this book. It wasn't like a super upsetting and it didn't go into details, but just like more heartbreaking that somebody actually had to endure what she had to endure. So for an older teen, understanding North Korea, fantastic book. So one of her, what else we read for Korea was the second book by Yeonmi Park. And this, I actually read this one first and it's called While Time Remains. And this is so fantastic because it is her story. She still lives in the United States and her experience as she comes into the United States. And I believe she goes to Columbia University and what is being taught in the school in Columbia and the things that she's been told, like, we're not allowed to say these things and we're not allowed to do this. And this is what's liberating and this is what's amazing. And it's kind of this eye opening of like warning of saying this is what like North Korea ideals started with, like the ideology of taking away words like love, taking away certain words that were just not even part of the vocabulary of somebody in North Korea, right? It was never I, it was always we, everything was community, right? So this one is definitely, again, for an older teen. It doesn't have anything graphic or upsetting, but I just don't know that a younger child would enjoy it. Or maybe even understand it. But once again, I loved it. My 15-year-old loved it. My daughter who just came home, she's been reading these and absolutely loved those books. So they were phenomenal. So maybe this, if you were studying Korea next year, if you just have younger kids, those fairy tale books are so fun and so great. Actually, if you remember my old co-host, Karen, she, on her website, Teach Beside Me, she has, like, you can search and she has awesome book recommendations for North Korea. I mean, just Korea in general, but North and South are just folk tales and whatnot. So some fun ideas if you're going to study Korea next year, or if you want to study it, anything like that, I would highly recommend these books. If you have any more book suggestions with Korea, North or South Korea, please send it my way. And I would love to study even more. Have a fantastic week. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Hey, friend. If you enjoy this podcast, I know you are going to love my book I wrote. It's called 30 Days to Ease into Homeschool. This is for anyone, whether you are new to homeschooling or ready to take your homeschool to the next level. This is for you. It's available to download at www.coachmegthomas.com/shop.